You know, I cited the DPP earlier, but we do have two talks on hypertension and two on diabetes. Obviously, the commonality among them is that they all address the unique aspects of our populations and try to translate and tailor their interventions and programs for their specific populations. And, you know, we'll learn some interesting lessons from all those talks. Okay, so the next presentation will be given by Jennifer Zanowiak, and she will talk on the results of a pilot study to promote diabetes prevention among New York City South Asian women using a community health worker model. Jennifer Zanowiak is the research coordinator at the NYU Health Promotion and Prevention Center. She oversees projects to prevent diabetes and promote oral health in the New York City Korean and South Asian communities, which use a community health worker model. Through community-based participatory research, she works closely with the center's Korean and South Asian partners to raise awareness of diabetes and oral health, provide education, and improve access to health care.
I actually feel very lucky today to be able to have one of our community partners here, Dr. Rucha Kavate, who's also going to be co-presenting with me. Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming to this panel to this session today. We're going to talk about the results of a pilot study to promote diabetes prevention among South Asians in New York City using a community health worker model. I have no disclosures. I'm the research coordinator at the NYU Health Promotion and Prevention Research Center based at the NYU School of Medicine, also closely affiliated with the NYU Center for the Study of Asian American Health. Dr. Rucha Kavate from United Sikhs is the health project manager at United Sikhs and has been working very closely throughout the entire development of this project with us. So I'm going to begin by just giving an overview of the NYU PRC and our guiding framework. Then we're going to talk about the development and background of Project RISE. And then we'll talk about developing community capacity and leadership. We'll hear a little bit from the community, and then I'll speak about our results and conclusions. So first, the NYU Prevention Research Center is funded by the CDC. There are 37 prevention research centers across the country. Our goal is to develop, implement, and evaluate a CHW program to promote diabetes prevention among the New York City, South Asian, and Korean American communities. And our guiding frameworks are community-based participatory research and the community health worker model. And then, so we do this project also in the Korean American community, but today's talk is just focused on our South Asian community. So I think many of you know who community health workers are. We use this model to build capacity and leadership in the Asian American communities. CHWs are indigenous to the communities in which they work and share the ethnicity, language, socioeconomic status, and life experience of the community members they serve. They have a unique understanding of the norms, attitudes, values, and strengths of the community members, and as such, they are especially well-placed to help link community members to the healthcare system. These are some of the different roles that community health workers play. There's a lot from, you know, research-related activities like data collection, but also advocacy, community organizing, referrals. Why CHWs? There's a burgeoning literature demonstrating their effectiveness across many different conditions. There's a very large workforce, 11,000 in New York State, 120,000 nationally. There's a lot of recognition for CHWs now to help improve access, improve quality, and lower costs under health reform. And CHWs play a very important role in coordinating care and helping people manage their care. So just to give a little bit of background on Project RISE, our specific aims are listed here. Basically, it's just to do formative research to then develop and design a community health worker intervention to promote diabetes prevention. And we expect to see greater reductions in weight, BMI, and hip-to-waist ratio, improved access to and utilization of preventative health services, and greater knowledge of diabetes prevention, and improved changes in dietary and physical activity. As I mentioned, our community partner in this process in the South Asian community is United Sikhs. Our CHWs are hired and based at the community partner organization, and this kind of just is aligned with our mission to build community capacity and leadership in the Asian American communities. We also work very closely with senior centers and faith-based organizations, and we have very strong relationships as a result of our community partner to the ethnic media, where we can raise visibility of our project and create greater awareness of diabetes in the communities. So just a little bit of background on the New York City Indian community. That's one of our target populations in this project. The Indian population in New York City is about 233,000. 61% of Indians live in Queens. And so our two sites, Project Rice sites, are Richmond Hill and South Ozone Park in Queens, which are each home to more than 15,000 Indians and have the largest Sikh congregations in New York City. This is also a very large immigrant community that's limited English proficient. So just some numbers of background for diabetes prevalence in New York City. You can see from 2002 to 2012, the proportion of adults with diabetes increased by 33%, from 8 to 10.7%. And just in the last 2 years alone, it increased by 15%. This is from the New York City Community Health Survey. We also see very high rates of diabetes among particular subgroups. So what we did in the analysis in the chart on the right is we actually aggregated 3 years' worth of New York City Community Health Survey data in order to have samples of Asian subgroups that were large enough to see some prevalence by subgroup. They don't actually ask ethnicity questions, so all of this was done by country of birth. But you can see that there are very different differences within the different subgroups. If you look, Chinese 8.9%, Bangladeshi 34.9%, Indian 16.2%. So, just looking at Asian Pacific Islander or above, the rate is 13.5%, but you can see that if you break it out by subgroup, there's some very, very extreme differences. This is just to show you from REACH data 2009 to 2011, the prevalence of diabetes diagnosis among overweight and obese individuals, very high in the Asian Indian community. And actually, when we did our formative research, which we'll talk about a little bit later, we saw the very same thing in our community. We had rates of, I think it was 44% obesity and 40% overweight using Asian BMI in the Sikh South Asian community. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Rucha, who's going to talk a little bit about the development and design of the project.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you, Jennifer, for including me in the presentation. We value community partnership, community academic collaboration very, very strongly, and this is just one example of how this works real time. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the process that Project Rice took. Project Rice stands for Reaching Immigrants Through Community Empowerment. We thought the acronym was just kind of interesting since we're working with the Asian community. We began by truly developing capacity in the community and a community health worker core competency training, which was 105 hours. This included skills that community health workers cultivated to do their jobs well, but also included disease-specific training. We then went on to complete a formative study, which was a basic needs assessment in the community. This consisted of surveys and focus groups, and that really built the base upon which we all worked together to create this intervention. Evaluation, of course, is a very big component. We developed the curriculum. The community health workers were all trained. And then we started doing our pilots. We revised the intervention based upon the experiences that we had in the pilot study, and we're presenting some of the findings from the pilot study today a little bit later. So, like I said, the formative study really drove the creation of the intervention, and you can see some of the aspects that we considered important to address as part of the part of our intervention. So we wanted to address the high rates of obesity that we found. We wanted to address high blood pressure and high cholesterol because this is a diabetes prevention intervention, but we really wanted to focus on some of the numbers that we found as we did our formative study. Most of our respondents did not get the recommended amount of physical activity, so we really wanted to focus on physical activity. The population is limited English proficient, so we wanted to make sure that the sessions were culturally and were language appropriate. Because of the forces of everything that works with an immigrant population, of course, there is a large number of folks who are not insured. And so we also wanted to make sure that community members had access to healthcare. And then we found out that our community wasn't interested in home visits, so we tailored the intervention to include follow-up calls instead. So we created a community coalition that guided the process of curriculum development and intervention development. We wanted to make sure that we were able to guide the process of co-learning and ensure that the community was represented correctly in the research process. We tailored existing curriculums so that they were appropriate for use in the target community. We paid particular importance to the cultural relevancy of concepts and linguistic concordance, and then we made sure that everything that we did was thoroughly evaluated. We got a lot of feedback, and we were continuing to focus on the cultural and language aspects of the intervention. So as you can see, this is the process that really went into developing the curriculum. We did the existing curricula review, the literature review. We interviewed nutritionists, physical therapists. We got their inputs on all the different curriculum sessions. As community partners, we were invited to come in and review the curriculum and talk about things that worked in the community and talked about things that may not have worked in our community. And then we particularly wanted to pay attention to the cultural elements because the South Asian community in particular has a unique culture, and those elements are important to take into consideration. So we've talked about the Diabetes Prevention Project, so just wanted to speak real quick about the differences a little bit, a comparison of where we stand in comparison to the Diabetes Prevention Project. And these changes were really made to make it more feasible in our community. So we recruited participants in gurdwaras. Gurdwaras are Sikh houses of worship. The target population for this intervention are Sikh Americans. And then because the community congregates at gurdwaras, they all come together multiple times a week. So that was, we partnered with gurdwaras to be able to reach the community. We randomized by neighborhoods because these are extremely close-knit communities. So it's very difficult to have a group of friends in the intervention and then randomize two people and not randomize the other two. And that, so we came up with the idea of randomizing by sites. So one of our sites is the control site, and one of our other sites is the intervention sites. And I have to commend the Prevention Research Center and our research team because they really worked with us on these adaptations like these to work so that the intervention works effectively in our communities. The eligibility was a diabetes risk score greater than 5, and this was adapted from the ADA diabetes risk test. In the initial rounds, we used the test as is. We used the BMI standards as is, but then we did change the test to now they reflect Asian BMI standards. They have to be South Asian. They have to be between the ages of 18 and 75. They should not have a previous diagnosis of diabetes, and they should not have any current or recent major health issues. And just to give you an idea about how crucial this issue is in our community, about half the people that we conservatively, about half the people that we survey for eligibility are actually eligible for the study. So it's a population that is definitely in need of a program like this. The intervention group receives six sessions, a session every 3 weeks, and then these are some of the sessions that they receive. The healthy eating and physical activity sessions are particularly important and interesting and very exciting, and I can say that by experience. And then in between the weeks, between the sessions, the participants get a follow-up phone call from their community health worker, and the community health worker helps them set some goals, and they talk about the goals, and they follow up weekly to see how they're doing. As I mentioned, evaluation is very important to make sure that we have the adequate data that is needed for this community. We survey each participant at baseline, 3 months and 6 months. The survey questionnaire includes questions on demographics, healthcare access, what their current nutrition and physical activity behaviors are, clinical measures, so on and so forth. I wanted to also very briefly talk about community capacity and having the importance of having culturally appropriate health education, because we are able to, in this manner, tailor it so that the community can relate to the sessions and can relate to the content in the session. So there are several community health worker-based initiatives at the NYU PRC, and of course some survey instruments are standardized to allow for cross-ethnicity comparisons, but they've done a really good job of tailoring the questions so they're all relevant to the community. And since 2010, we at United Six, our health programs were built out of a need to serve the community. We really look at health as a human right. But since then, we've been able to expand our services and expand our programs, and really from the formative studies that we've done and from the research that we continue to do, really been able to provide the community more services that are more more timely. These are just some pictures of the community diabetes awareness activities. The, on the right are cooking demonstrations. On the left is a session that I did with young children at Gurdwara. And we just wanted to highlight one or two things that our participants are saying, just to talk about how this is about people and about people's lives at grassroots level. And that was our graduation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everyone. Richa is being really modest, but they actually, as a result of being part of the PRC program, they were able to apply themselves for a grant to do oral health promotion in the Sikh community, and they were awarded the grant now 2 years in a row. So the first year they did a formative study on oral health needs in the Sikh community, and the second year they now they're developing an intervention to address that. And they also were awarded to be patient navigators for New York State to help enroll participants into the Affordable Care Act insurance exchanges. So they're super, super busy now. So it's really been great to see that. So I'm just going to share some of our results and conclusions. I just want to say that we are still, we really tried to be able to present the full set of data for you today. Unfortunately, data collection just finished, so we weren't able to do that. So the samples are 50 in the control group site and 50 in the intervention group site. We were able to look at 30 and 30 for you today. This is just a summary of everything that we saw. All of these are significant findings. So we saw significant increase in exercise in the intervention group, significant increases in intervention, and a significant decrease in the control in eating fruits and vegetables, a significant increase in eating fruits instead of dessert or snacks, significant increase in intervention group eating brown rice, and then some of the clinical measures that were significant were improvements in weight, BMI, glucose, and blood pressure. And then this is a slide on our demographics. Again, this is not including the full sample. We do recognize that there are some imbalances in the intervention and control groups, and we're going to be doing another round of 50 and 50, and hopefully we'll be able to kind of rebalance this when we do the full full analysis. But we do have primarily women in the intervention group, and I think that some of the differences that we are seeing in terms of self-efficacy are directly related to differences in the groups between women and men. So we'll be able to analyze that further later on. In terms of just straight exercise, we definitely, we also had questions on how often and how vigorous, but this one is very clear that participants are reporting exercising in the intervention group significantly. Eating fruits and vegetables, again, we see increases in the intervention group, decreases in the control group. That's the yellow bars. The same for eating fruits instead of desserts. Same for brown rice. And then these are our clinical outcomes so far. All of them significant in the intervention group. We do see some significant changes in the control group as well, but the differences are greater in the intervention group. But that was kind of interesting to see. I also do want to say that all of our control group participants they're so excited to be a part of the intervention. So we are actually going to be working to offer them the program when we do the next round, because they're very interested in being a part of it. And then these are some of the CHW evaluation questions. And all of this is saying strongly agree, but the other numbers were agree, and everyone said that they agreed too. So there has been a very... this program has been regarded very highly among our participants. Just some of our lessons learned. As Richard mentioned, we did a mini pilot and then another round. So we did make some changes between the two rounds, one of them being using Asian BMI, including that as eligibility and in the diabetes risk test. As Richa mentioned, we've tried to work really hard to balance scientific rigor of the study with what is culturally acceptable. We got a lot of feedback, especially in terms of randomization, that we just cannot randomize in a closely knit community like that, and that we had to be able to offer the intervention also to control participants, so we are doing that afterwards. We learned a lot of lessons in terms of retaining individuals. We've employed more CHWs at the site and also made sure that they were from the community and already had the strong linkages with the communities and the gurdwaras. That really helped in our second round. And also promoting a culture of prevention and proactivity among community members. We've done a lot of work to raise the profile of prevention because a lot of people just don't feel that this is a main priority for them. Just the idea of prevention. So we've kind of worked a lot with that too. So this is our conclusion. We are seeing really great results. So it does suggest that a diabetes prevention program is effective in this community. And then our next steps is to do focus groups with the current participants. And we're going to do another round of this pilot. So that's it. Thank you so much.